Welcome back to the podcast From Zero to 100, a podcast about assumptions, narratives, and how all this influences our daily life and work. Today we will talk with Christina Forster, co-founder of Heartbeats Innovation and Communication, to which we will refer afterwards always as Heartbeats, a small organization or also a small impact business. And Christina will, apart from this work, also share with us her process and her learning or unlearning process she has gained through a course. But before going into detail, hello, Christina, how are you?
Hello, I'm really well, and thanks for having me today.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. And maybe before we talk about your reflection and the course you participated in and the unlearning process, maybe you can share to the listeners a bit more about who is Heartbeats, why you founded that organization, also a small impact business. Please go ahead.
Yes, of course. So Heartbeats Innovation and Communication is a professional service agency where we try to approach the topic of impact from the angle of innovation and communication. And with that, we have a really high focus on system change, regeneration, but also lately decolonizing impact. We will talk about that a little bit later as well. What we do is basically, when it comes to innovation, we try to support and work with partners to innovate in a fair and inclusive way. This can be, for example, as part of a strategic intervention, or we facilitate learning journeys. And the other part, the communication part, we have a very high focus on impact communication, but also inclusive communication, as well as responsible storytelling. And we also work as narrative shifters. So if there's a need to shift the narrative, we are also specialized in that. So to sum it up, we founded it almost 5 years ago because we really felt the need that impact needs to be taken more seriously, not only by the big brands, but by everyone. And we are now working with partners who are ready as well to approach the topic of impact in new ways, so to say. That would be it in a nutshell.
Thank you. And it sounds like a very interesting work you're doing. And as you mentioned, there are different organizations and institutions you're working with, you're accompanying, and also to change aspects of these organizations who many times work in the so-called Global South. No, and Global South, maybe for our listeners, these are defined, you can say, as regions. Or our regions are nations of the world, which are regarded as having a relatively low level of economic and industrial development and are typically located to the south of more industrialized nations. This is a general definition and how just this terminology is. So maybe we will also talk about it later, and maybe it can also be a complete different podcast about with another episode, because it's also about talking about narratives and how we write these narratives and what really, who defines industrialized and developed and why it is, or if it is just really to call them south or now north. And going back to Heartbeats and the work you're doing, many of these projects and organizations have the objective to contribute, as you mentioned, also to impact, to be more aware about the impact we have, positive or negative also, and also to include. And working with these organizations on this topic might also require a certain capacity development for you as organization, as business, a self-reflection process. And there I wanted to ask you, because you participated in a course that is called Intro to Decolonizing Sustainability, which is offered by an organization which is called Possible Futures. And Possible Futures is a collective that is experienced in curation, coordination, and facilitation of complex, difficult dialogues that attempt to navigate and bridge immense gaps between Global South regions and between Global South and Global North. And there I would like to know, how was this process for you, but also why did you participate in this course?
As you mentioned as well, we are working with the Global South, but ourselves, we are based in the Global North. We are having our head office in Vienna, in Austria, and having also a branch in Slovenia, in Ljubljana. But of course, we are based in the middle of the Global North. So we have been working, as I mentioned in the intro, around the topic of impact or with impact for now 5 years intensively. And what we observed is that whilst 5 years back, it was still rather new. Of course, it was a topic. Of course, people knew about it, but it was still something a bit new and people were new to it and approached it from a very, let's call it, pure angle. But what we observed in the past years is that it became a huge trend and pretty much everyone is doing it. So that's, of course, on one hand, a good thing. But what came with it was also a lot of not so good side effects like greenwashing and so on. And this, what we observed is we just started to feel like that we are part of a big trend now, which is not going deep enough anymore. And we started to feel really uncomfortable with that. So we connected it also a little bit with working with the Global South, where we always got input in our collaboration that were really special to us. You know, that we wouldn't get them from anywhere else. And then we discovered this training from Possible Future, where we realized, okay, this is done only by actually female facilitators from the Global South. And the topic as such is something where you, at least I had to swallow first to actually understand the title. And that's when we thought, okay, they most likely are onto something and we really want to know more about it. So that's why we decided to sign up for it, just out of this feeling that what's happening here in our bubble of impact work is just, yeah, is a cycle that is very difficult to escape and also doesn't really seem to develop. And the course itself was, for me, I really want to say that loud and clear, a really life-changing experience. It was a course for over 4 months, to describe it shortly. We met every 2 weeks for live sessions where we were taken on a journey. It was created in a very, very innovative and creative way. We were taken through 9 different seas on which we had to work on different topics around the topic of sustainability and decolonization. And we also had a crew, so we would have small crews where we would work in between those live sessions. So all in all, it was a very nicely designed journey. But having said that, it was, as a personal experience, it was also a very surprising, as mentioned, life-changing, but also uncomfortable journey. So it was quite a thing.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it's also something that you did apart from your work. No, it was also keep on working and then doing this kind of reflections. I think that is also very challenging at the same time. Sometimes you can include things also immediately in your work, but sometimes also, yeah, it needs also this time to process. And maybe is there something concrete about what you would like to share with the listeners, also to say where they can see the connection also to your work and where you can have included it?
Yeah, I think the best way to describe that is I entered the course, what I thought, with a very open mind. I was really open, or I felt very open to listen what they would tell us. I wanted to hear about new things, and most likely I wanted to hear about new solutions, how we should do our work. But that didn't happen. So we didn't get any new solution, but we learned a lot about how actually the privileges we live in the Global North, or especially where we are based, that we actually, without noticing, we're still harming others by just using those privileges. We talked a lot about oppressor language, which made me realize that I am myself still speaking oppressor's language with what was a huge shock for me. We also learned about, I consciously call it now, trap of sustainability Inc., meaning that in the Global North, that again, actually the powerful key holders or brands are in charge of the sustainability trend without actually making the change they promise us. And we also understood that we with Heartbeats so far served those brand and that we were part of the game. So there were a lot of learnings that actually after a while and a lot of swallowing that they really hurt. And at one point, also my personal ego got really hurt. So I severely struggled, I have to be honest. And I really had a few sleepless nights over that because my world suddenly turned upside down. And I wondered how I was raised. I wondered about the narrative I was raised with, because I thought it's okay. I'm just lucky that I'm born in a, you know, very wealthy country, but I didn't think there's anything wrong with that. But this course and the angle, because they're very consciously presenting the course from the perspective of the global south, made me understand that there's a lot of things wrong with that. So what really happened for me personally is that I got very hurt. I struggled a lot. I didn't get any of the answers from the crew, from the possible future crew. But after I kind of recovered from this hurt ego and I kind of came back from this pitying myself and feeling sorry for myself for a while, I realized suddenly all the things I felt we had to do, I had to do, they suddenly came up. And I realized, okay, probably after all that was the plan, that you find the answers by yourself. So in that sense, it was not only professionally a powerful journey, but also personally a very powerful journey.
Thanks. Thank you very much for sharing. And I think this is also very much related, and it's also why we are talking about it, the topic of the podcast about the narratives, no? Because we are many times not aware. And as you mentioned, we grow up in certain structures, and it's not that we cannot be aware about it. So these things, we have to be sensitized also in a certain way. And it's great that there are these offers, that there's the opportunity to participate in these courses. And yeah, at the same time, as you say, it's a long process. It needs time. And I can imagine that sometimes people also say, okay, they start with these courses, they have their expectations, and then they stop. Or as you mentioned, okay, we may think that we are already aware about a lot of aspects, and then we get even more aware. And it's obviously surprising and also, well, pessimistic probably, and people get frustrated by it. So thank you very much for sharing this. And you said also you participated in this course. Well, it was a personal journey, but also a professional journey. How did this then, or could you include it in your work with Heartbeats, and or what were changes that obviously also together with the team, and that probably also had been then another process for you to then explain it to the team, go with them through certain aspects, but maybe you can share one or two aspects which were important, yeah, for you, for the organization in that way.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's a lot of changes happening, and we are still in the process of making those changes. I think one of the most important changes in a professional sense is that we decided not to work with companies anymore, with bigger companies, corporates, so to say, because we really didn't want to play that game. Or actually, if I can say it brutally, in a way, we don't want to support entertaining them, that we get booked for, let's say, 2-day workshop and everything is fine and we do that, and then it's like tick the box and everyone goes their way without a lot of happening. And it was a big part of our work. So actually making that change is very challenging for us still. We have to redefine ourselves. We are defining our services as well at the moment. So we are, to be very fair, of course, we are talking to our team regularly, but we are not at the point yet where we actually can share the new vision. So this is work in progress, which we do together though. So we are changing a lot in that sense. And I think one of the biggest pains we had in a professional sense as well was to understand how far away we actually were from the truth with our website, because we had a huge manifesto on our website, which we wrote 5 years ago. And it really came from our hearts at this point. And reading it now after having this experience, we realized this is most of it is all wrong. So we really have to dig very deep and rewrite things, rethink things. So this website partners two very big changes. And also what we will try to do as well is to get loud about it, to speak about it, because we understand, just because I took this course now, you know, the economical system in the markets we work with will not change. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But so the first logical step, I feel, is to raise awareness. So we want to be louder about it as well, and talk about it and share our story like we can do with you today. And for example, we are also invited for a TEDx talk in May in Sarajevo, where we will also talk about the topic. So actually also really speaking up and trying to raise awareness.
Thanks. And as you mentioned, it's a challenging process, no? Because as you mentioned, you're really going out of the box and trying really to do also your own reflection in the organization, applying what you have learned, and also through this showing that you're not only accepting or offering what you or keep offering, which is expected by big corporations or businesses. So for that process, I think it's very important to get loud about it, to change the narratives. But as we also know, these kind of narratives, and might have heard in other episodes, are difficult to change. But I think it's great to see that organizations start going about it, doing these reflections, and through this contributing to different narratives, because otherwise things would stay the same. Because yes, it's this own reflection, we are aware about it, but then taking the next step, I think that's the most challenging aspects for any of us in any kind of process, because you never know also what we'll expect, what will come next. So one question also, apart from this restructuring process, and you partly also mentioned it, how current narratives may challenge and influence this organizational change process, because as you mentioned, okay, that's challenging and you might not offer what many companies might expect from organizations like you. So how do you face these challenges or these narratives that people may confront you with?
Well, since we are working on this, the truth is we said no to a few clients/partners, but also the other way around, we got a few no's. So it is certainly challenging, as you mentioned. And another step maybe to mention here, what we also change, and it's important to add to answer that question as well. We will not leave the system because we can't, and it's also not the purpose to leave it, because you can't change anything, but we are certainly leaving the bubble we are in. And you can call the bubble impact bubble, you can call the bubble social entrepreneurship bubble. There are many out there. I really don't want to now only focus on one, but we decided that we will not join this sort of conferences, or there's so many awards out there that are given to each other and they just stay within the same bubble. We just really want to shift to a way of working where we can not only talk, but actually listen more, because I think we all in the Global North, we have talked enough. We are so used to talking. We are so used to people listening to us, and we are the same. You know, we do workshops and people listen to us and we don't listen. So we certainly want to challenge and change maybe the narrative or contribute with new models and formats of workshops. Also in the Global North, when we are holding the workshops, we will not go in for the classic models anymore. But we will also try to include where we feel the real authentic languages can come from, if it is suitable. That was one thing that worked very much as well. So that's another thing we will try. But the truth is, it's patience. So if we can do it, everyone can do it. So that's the good news. That's how I feel. But it will need many more that are based in the so-called high-income countries to actually speak up and say, look, this is not okay. We are doing harm by noticing it. And we can open our eyes and see it and unlearn certain things. Of course, it takes time. Any narrative change, as you for sure know as well, takes a lot of time. It is something that has to grow, that has to overcome many challenges, but it is something that can happen. And with our services, with redefining our services and continuously raising awareness, we hope we are ready to take on the journey.
Step by step, and also yes. As the listeners might have read in the description, it's like, yeah, putting not only plates from one place and the other in a cupboard and then finding them again, but also to take some out, maybe giving them to friends and saying, okay, I will not use them anymore, and then you look for them, or then you also have to learn or unlearn, maybe if you're just using bowls, okay, how can I now use these bowls when I have no plates anymore? And this is just the easy way, you know, because I think really like unlearning certain habits. At the end of these episodes in general, I'm also always asking people I'm talking to about some recommendations. I think you already mentioned several things, like not to leave the system, but leaving a certain bubble. Or sometimes I think it's also important to be part of the system, to know how it's working, how it's thinking, and from inside to change aspects and to keep listening. They are also not listening to the system, but more so to people who are not part of the system, who are excluded from the system, as you mentioned. Being patient, and that I think is the most challenging aspect, especially in this world which is getting so fast, that each things are happening so quick. But I think it's also motivating what you said, that if you can do it, everybody can do it. And I think if everybody, it's also an individual thing. No, if each of us is doing a small step by step, it's changing. Sometimes going back, that's also in this podcast, from 0 to 100, it's not going always forwards. It's also sometimes going backwards. But maybe there's something additional which you would like to share also from your personal journey through the course.
Yes, of course. I mean, everything you mentioned, I fully agree. If you take on this journey, if you feel, and I've spoken to quite a few people that share this feeling of a little bit feeling uncomfortable about this whole impact thing, that's already a starting point, I can say now from my personal journey. What I maybe additionally would like to share, and something that is very much connected to narratives and communication as such as well, is to observe, and that's also the journey I'm in and where I have to take a lot of steps back, you know, at times, and to observe yourself, how you speak, how you talk. Mm-hmm. Because as I mentioned, one of the biggest shocks for me was thinking of myself as an open-minded person, that I could speak oppressor's language. So really to maybe just on a daily basis try to learn a little bit about what is oppressor's language and how mm-hmm. do we use it, because we were told to use it, because that's where we raised. So just to listen a little bit, it's very typical in our language, or the way I talk, for example. It of course, it depends in which country and which culture you're based in, but I can only speak now from my experience. It's very typical that you defend yourself. So that is definitely going in that direction of oppressor's language. So for example, if someone would say, I'm not a racist, but this is really annoying, blah, 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 or I'm really open-minded, but. So if you notice that you have, it's a habit, and it was certainly a habit for me, and I'm still working to slowly get rid of it, that is a very good step forward to understand what is oppressor's language, also to understand in the language as well what is often falls into systemic racism. Mm-hmm. We very often don't think we are racist, but we are, mm-hmm. by yeah. just not understanding how we hurt others, people of colors or people of a different skin color that simply are surrounded by the like. So if there's an openness to start observing yourself into that direction, and also to understand the privileges we are living in and we use on a daily basis, and as you shared as well in your example, Lisa, with the cupboards and the plates, if there is the one or the other thing you can actually, yeah, get rid of or make not use on such a regular basis, I think a lot of change can happen on the mid and long term.
Thank you. I think there's nothing else to add. Thank you very much for your time. It was a great talk. I wish you on your personal journey, but also for Heartbeats, all the best. And I hope that more organizations, or also small business, impact businesses, get onto this journey, and even also the bigger ones start changing and supporting, contributing to these processes, or just getting also in conversation. As you said, it's also a talk, and sometimes you have to say no, or the other side have to say no, and then to learn by this and see how step-by-step processes are going.
I think we're on the way. I'm optimistic there. And thanks so much that I could share my story. And thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you. Bye bye.